I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, hey, welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon sellers. This is your host, Michael Veazey, and welcome to the show. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. If you are a regular listener, you're quite likely going to be a member of our Facebook group. And once again, I'd encourage you to join if you haven't joined yet, because you will have the opportunity, for example, like today, to put your questions straight through via me as your mouthpiece to people like Greg Mercer. So www.amazingfba.com/FB, F as in face, B as in book. So today we have Mr. Greg Mercer of Jungle Scout, famous as the probably go-to research tool for all Amazon sellers, and it still is. It's the one I still recommend. It's the one I've used. It's the one I recommend to everyone that I've worked with. So without further ado, I'm going to plunge into the interview with Mr. Greg Mercer. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. And today I'm very excited to have a very special guest indeed. Is a colossus bestriding the Amazon world. And that man is Greg Mercer. Greg, welcome to the show.
Michael, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it. I think we're going to have some fun. I'm excited to be here.
Great. Thank you. Well, let's get started with a couple of background questions, and then we'll get into, I've got a lot of questions from the Facebook group members and people on the email subscribers list. So first question is, how did you come to be selling on Amazon in the first place? What got you started?
Sure. Yeah. So I actually started about 3 years ago. I used to be a civil engineer. So I worked like a corporate job, a 9-to-5. You know, the job wasn't terrible, but I just wasn't happy there. I've always had a strong entrepreneurial spirit my whole life, and I just kind of wanted to escape that and do my own thing. So I started selling on Amazon as kind of my way out, and I was able to scale that up enough to kind of replace my income. At that point, I quit and then started to focus on it full time. So I did that. Yeah, I did that about, I think I quit around 3 years. Actually, it might be over 3 years ago now. And actually, when I started, I was doing like reselling items that I was purchasing from wholesalers. And kind of after a year or so, I noticed I was getting really competitive. So that's when I switched into starting to private label my own items. So that's where most of my Amazon business is at today. The margins there are much better. It's just all around less cutthroat. And so that's kind of the model I prefer now.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Well, that's a pretty clear background. And so the whole private label versus wholesale thing is not, I mean, wholesale isn't something we've done on our podcast, and we're not particularly intending to, but what would you say are the main differences between those models, just briefly?
Sure. So when I say like reselling from wholesalers, I'm talking about like purchasing well-known, you know, established brands, whether it be like a Black & Decker drill or, you know, a kitchen good that everyone's familiar with or whatever. So I'd purchase them from a wholesaler, sell on existing listings on Amazon, and then I would just be, you know, competing for the buy box. So I would rotate, you know, through with the other sellers, essentially whoever was willing to offer the cheapest price or the lowest margins would usually get the buy box. Right. And then, yeah, so, you know, that was fine. 3 years ago when Amazon wasn't quite as competitive, maybe I was only rotating through the buy box with a few people. Now there's a lot more people on there. So that got really competitive, and it just, you know, my margins were just terrible. So that's when I was, you know, got out of that quite a bit. And then, you know, that's one of the huge advantages of private labeling. That's why I love it now, is because, you know, you own the listing. You're not rotating through with a whole bunch of other sellers on it. Since it is your product and it is your listing, you can justify, you know, putting in work to get reviews and taking really nice pictures and all that kind of work. I definitely recommend the private label model now.
Great. Thank you for clarifying that difference, because I know we do get occasional questions about that, and it's valid to consider, but it sounds like there's the way to go is private label, no question. And I guess also there's a distinction between wholesale, which is what you were doing, so buying from wholesalers and selling, and retail arbitrage, I guess. Is that right? And that's just like buying from supermarkets, things like that.
Yeah. So I never really got into the whole retail arbitrage thing. You know, if someone was just starting out, it doesn't seem like a terrible idea, but it's not a very scalable model. You know, you're limited to how many hours a day you can be out there, like looking through supermarkets or Walmart or whatever. Whereas I was looking for more of a system to generate income, as opposed to exchanging my hours for dollars like I was as an engineer.
Great. That makes perfect sense. Yeah, it's just a reminder to all of us how great the private label opportunity is, really.
Uh-huh.
So can you tell us this? Let's plunge in. You're famous for Jungle Scout, obviously. I mean, I know you're a massive Amazon seller in your own right, but what is it that led you to develop Jungle Scout in the first place?
Yeah. So after I, you know, my business was growing and so forth, I got to the point where the largest bottleneck in my business was finding new products to sell. So, you know, I had proven the model. I was like, okay, I know I can do really well at this. It definitely works. You know, my margins are good. I'm making good money here, but it was really time consuming and really difficult to find more products to add to my line. So at one point I actually had like a team of VAs in the Philippines. I'd like send them a list of ideas or keywords. They would look at them. They would like fill out this whole spreadsheet for me and send it back to me. So it was really time consuming. You know, at one point I literally had like 7 or 8 VAs, I think, in the Philippines looking for me. I was like, so there has to be a better way. So that's when I created Jungle Scout. So essentially, you know, the first Jungle Scout tool was the extension, the Chrome extension, and all the data that the Jungle Scout extension gives you, that's all the same information I would have my VAs fill out for me. The only difference is instead of like sending off a list of keywords to VAs and paying them on an hourly rate, you just click a button. Like within 2 seconds, you have all the information. So that's how it was born.
Wow, that's quite an extraordinary story. Because basically, you've created a tool that's replaced having a team of 8 VAs.
Yeah, I really did.
That really is. That's literally how many you had. That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, because
I can't believe you had 8 VAs and replaced them with the software that you go click.
Yeah, because it would take them like. You know, like 30 minutes to get all that information that I was looking for. So, you know, I was really trying to scale up quickly. So if I had a list of like 200 ideas or 200 keywords, I mean, it would take, you know, in one day, someone could only get through like 10 keywords, you know, or like 10 product ideas. So it used to just be terribly time consuming.
God, that's very interesting. So you're giving some hard data on there, like, you know, one person, 10 ideas and, you know, in a day. So that's like 200. That's like 20 man days for 200 keywords, basically.
Yeah, so you can see where, like, you know, you could use a big team if you're trying to do it quickly, right? I mean, thankfully, yeah. Like, you know, people like VAs in the Philippines are pretty inexpensive, but it still adds up if you're paying for like 100 hours a week or 200 hours a week or whatever, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy numbers. So yeah, no wonder you developed it. Now I understand the motivation. So can you just quickly summarize, you've touched on what it does, but can you summarize, you know, a bit more detail what it does and how to
use
it?
Sure. So we have like two tools now. One is the Chrome extension. So that was the original tool. What it does is it integrates into your browser and it actually works inside of the Amazon store. So if I'm, you know, at Amazon.com or Amazon.co.uk, I search for product idea. Let's say my product idea is yoga mat. I would then click this little JS button that's installed into your browser now, and you would see a little pop-up. And in that pop-up is all of the key or relevant data that you need to make educated product research or forecasting decisions. So it gives you the estimated sales each month for each type of product, the price, how much you net after the Amazon fees and other, you know, just key pieces of data that you need to make good decisions.
Excellent. So it basically does what a team of VAs did for you in terms of product research and a click of a button.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So then the other tool is called our web app. So this is a web-based piece of software. So this, you know, this doesn't run in the Amazon store. This runs on our website and our servers. And what it has a few different features. My favorite feature of it, or the most popular feature, is what we call the product database. And what we've done there is we've actually rebuilt Amazon's catalog in such a way that it's user-friendly for us sellers to search through. So, you know, on the Amazon website, it's built for consumers, right? It's, you know, it's meant to sell stuff to consumers. But like us as sellers, it's not the best place to look for product ideas because you can't say like, okay, only show me the items that are selling well without much competition, right? Like Amazon.com or .co.uk doesn't have that filter. We've kind of rebuilt the catalog with a new UI that has all those types of filters that us sellers would look for. So now you can say, okay, show me all the products that, you know, sell like over 300 a month and have under 50 reviews, because that would usually mean that they're not very competitive. And you can even say that, you know, are priced over like a certain dollar amount, or they're under a certain weight or so forth. So you can filter through the products with all the kind of criteria that us as sellers look for. And then from there, you can get some really good product ideas.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Yeah, and I like the idea that you built something. It's kind of like an Amazon for sellers rather than Amazon for buyers.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, interesting. And UI, by the way, for the non-technical amongst us, is user interface, is that
right? That's correct, yep.
Yeah, just checking, because I know some people think, like, what is all this jargon?
Yeah,
and by the way, for anyone who hasn't used it, Chrome is a browser. Like, I mean, something like Safari or Internet Explorer. I mean, like, I know for most of us, it's like, yeah, duh. But, you know, if you haven't come across it, it's Chrome. It's produced by Google. So you will need the Chrome browser in order to use the extension. Is that correct?
That's correct. And it's just a free browser you can download. And I think it's, like, the most popular one. So most people already have it.
Yeah. Just in case there's somebody listening scratching their head. Because I'm just visualizing the questions come in.
Good point.
Once you start running a podcast, you get interesting questions. Talking of questions, we've had a lot of questions that I put out to the Facebook group and the email subscribers. So we've got quite a few questions to get through from those. So if that's okay, we'll get into a few sort of quick tactical style ones.
Let's do it.
First of all, from Deborah, she asked, what are your criteria for product selection? Which is like the question, isn't it? Everyone's asking.
Yeah.
The magic bullet answer, please, in a sentence.
The magic bullet. No, I actually have come up with some really good rule of thumbs, because I know, you know, product research is like most people's biggest pain point, right? It's like, if you can find a good product, the rest of it's like, you know, fairly straightforward. It's like downhill after you're selecting a good product. So the criteria that I personally look for, I've developed this for the US store, but we can like apply a little factor of it for the UK store. So for because most of your listeners would be in the, selling on amazon.co.uk, is that right? Or
I think actually a lot of them will be selling on amazon.com, but based in the UK.
Okay,
so
cool.
I mean, basically the product research side is going to be the same. It's just with the supply chain, there's different elements. Like, you have to have a warehouse to receive stuff. You can't have it at home, even when you're starting out, that kind of stuff.
Cool. Okay. So the product criteria I use for the US store is, I look for a product that is already selling well on Amazon. Okay. I think my personal opinion is it's pretty risky to try to like create a new market or create a new niche, right? Just going off like your gut instinct, you know, like I'm an engineer by trade, right? I'm like a data guy. So I like to find a niche that already has 3,000 units being sold each month of existing demand. So, you know, if I were to search for whatever, if I were to search for glass cups on Amazon, I were to hit the little JS extension, or if you don't have it, you could do this the manual way. But then I would add up all the sales of all of the glass cups that, you know, popped up. And I like to see that there's at least 3,000 units of demand. Through my trial and error, I found that is a good number if you want to, if your particular listing wants to sell 10 a day, which is what I always shoot for. So, you know, if there's total 3,000, I usually have found I can capture 10% of that market, which is 300 units a month or 10 per day. So yeah, that's what I look for in demand. Now, that's fairly easy to find these products, right, that have 3,000 units total per month. However, what makes it a little more complicated is we want ones that aren't too competitive as well. So what I look for that is I like to see like one or two sellers in the top five listings that have under 50 reviews. And in the top 10 listings, I like to see like three or four or even five sellers with under 50 reviews. And to me, that signifies that it's not too competitive or too mature of a niche. And it's something that I can easily get into, easily get ranked up there in some of the top spots and start capturing some of that market share. So that's kind of, you know, like the happy median that we're looking for. And I mean, overall, like big picture, that's a small percentage of like all the niches or all the product types on Amazon. Maybe it's like 1%. But the good news is there's like hundreds of millions of products on Amazon. So even if it's only 1% of those, you know, it's still like a lot of product opportunity for us. And then the other things I look for is I like the higher priced items, like $20 or more. You know, the smaller and the simpler, the better, just because it's easier as far as logistics goes. You don't have to worry about like the max storage, 500 oversized units when you're starting out, and so forth. So yeah, that's my general, product, selection criteria. And, you know, keep in mind, those are just rule of thumbs. If it, you know, if it's a little bit less demand or a little more competition or whatever, that's, you know, it can still be a good opportunity. That's just the rule of thumbs I've created.
Great. Thank you. Well, that's nice and clear. So demand of 3,000 a month total, which is what, 100 a day, I guess, if my math is right. So you're wanting to capture 10% of the market, and then the competition under 50. What did you say? Under 50 reviews in the top five, and then under 50 in the top 10.
Yeah. So in the top five, I like to see like one or two sellers with under 50 reviews, and top 10, you know, maybe three or four sellers. So I guess I should clarify that. Or a simpler way to say it would just say in the top like 10 listings, I like to see like three or four sellers with under 50 reviews. Cause so that would tell you it's not that mature of a niche, isn't too competitive. If you see all the listings have like 500 reviews, 1,000 reviews and so forth, that's a very mature niche. It's been around for a while, and it's going to be hard to get into those top spots.
Makes sense. So you think this maturity of the niche, how long people have been selling for, is one of the factors that we're coming up against in competition?
I do think so, yes. Yep.
Okay. Now, talking of competition, now this leads very neatly, and I didn't really set this up, folks, like this, but James has asked, I used to subscribe to Greg's product tracker, but every time I found a product that looked any good, the product in question would be hugely competitive. So how can I use the Chrome extension to pick out items that aren't so competitive?
The Chrome extension isn't the best tool to find a product that's not so competitive. So instead, I'm going to recommend, if you're using the Jungle Scout suite of tools, to use the product database for this. Because what I personally do is I can go to the product database. Remember, this is like we've rebuilt Amazon's catalog for sellers. So I can say, show me all the products that have under 50 reviews and still sell at least 300 a month. And if you make that search, you'd see there's thousands and thousands of products that meet that criteria. And then you could start looking through those and dig into the whole niche a little further.
Recommend just using a different tool than the extension, basically.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to do it. Of course, with the Chrome extension, you could. The thing about the Chrome extension is once you have an idea, the Chrome extension is like the best tool we have, because you can go to Amazon, you can see in real time how many everyone's selling, you know, how competitive it is and so forth. But if you don't already have product ideas or keyword ideas, then it's not the best tool. So for his particular question, how to find less competitive, you know, products or niches, I'd recommend the product database for that.
Okay, so fundamentally, that's a useful distinction for me anyway, that the extension is useful if you already have product ideas and keyword ideas particularly.
Yep.
Then that's a good starting point. Great. That clarifies that. Now, a very related question to that from Anila is, it's kind of like the opposite. She says, my question is that when in every category and product I like, it looks like it's good to private label. So what is there to differentiate? Is there something definitive as to what extra things we need to look out for? So in other words, everything looked good, but that can't be true. What are the catches? And again, she says, can you base it on the Chrome extension, please? Because most people have that, which I suppose is true.
I would say if every opportunity looks good to you, then likely I would assume that you're probably like your criteria for the competitiveness is too lax. You probably want to look for something like a little less competitive. So, you know, like I said, there's tons of opportunities that sell a whole boatload of demand, but you're looking for something with enough demand and it's not too competitive. So if I were to make a search, again, we could use my glass cups example. If I were to search for that, I would be trying to look for something without many reviews, like with under 50 reviews in some of those top spots.
Great. Well, that's really clear. So
you can easily do that with the extension.
Okay, great. So you really then, so don't focus on the demand side so much as, okay, once you ticked off that demand's over 3,000 units a month, i.e. 100 a day for the, what, is it the top 10 products or the top first page or something like that?
For the demand?
Yes.
However many relevant products there are on the first page. So again, if I search for clothespins and on the front page there's 20 items, but only 8 are actually clothespins, then I'd only be adding up the demand for those 8. If the whole front page were all clothespins, then I would add up the whole page.
Okay, right. So that makes total sense. So you're stripping out irrelevant keywords. Good point, though. I don't think I've been doing that myself. So right now, how much do we need to pay for all this stuff, Greg? Could you just walk us through the pricing of the different Jungle Scout tools that you have?
Yeah, so for the extension, you can get it for either $90 or $150. The more expensive one just has some more features. The web-based app is a monthly subscription that most people can get by with the $40 a month plan, but it does go all the way up to $100 per month. With the web app, you can sign up for a free trial. You know, I think a lot of people can even find products during the free trial and don't even have to pay for it. So that's always a good choice too. Yep.
Yeah, free trial is always good. We always like free. Great. Well, I'll obviously be putting links on the show notes, but I want to sort of clarify this stuff because obviously it's quite a sophisticated suite of tools now, and the differences aren't always clear to me and to the listeners. Yeah. So that's really helpful. Thank you. Now, about sellers who want to sell in the UK, I sell in both markets, for example, in the UK and the USA. Ruth asks, the Jungle Scout web app is for Amazon USA. Are there plans to make this available to Amazon UK in the future?
Yeah, that's a good question. So just to clarify, the extension does work for the US and the UK. So the question Ruth had was about, you know, our web-based app. For that, you know, we've only rebuilt the catalog in the US, the .com store. We'd like to do it in the future in the UK, but I'm not quite sure the time frame on that. However, the good news is I do know a lot of like UK sellers or Germany sellers where we'll still use the web app to come up with product ideas, but then instead of going to Amazon.com to search it, they would go to the UK store or the Germany store or the India store or whatever. So, you know, if the product database gave you the idea that a purple lamp shade, you know, is selling well with low competition, you could then search for that purple lamp shade, you know, at the UK store and verify that.
Excellent. So you're looking for clues in the USA, but then you come back to the UK to sort of confirm with the data.
Yeah,
sort of thing.
And a lot of times you'll find that, you know, they're similar. Of course, you know, there's going to be a few little differences here and there, but a lot of times if it's a good opportunity in the States, it's also a good opportunity in one of the European stores.
Yeah, that makes total sense. When they say in the UK, we have a saying, when America sneezes, the UK catches a cold. So whatever happens in the USA is going to come to the UK sooner or later. And actually, that's almost like a form of arbitrage, really. I think sometimes you can see an opportunity blowing up in a larger marketplace in the USA, like Amazon, but not only, it applies across the board over decades, really. And then you can get in there quick because you know it's going to start getting big in the UK quite possibly. And yeah, of course, you've got to check against the data, but it gives you a starting point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Absolutely.
I like it. I like it very much. Right now, more strategic level question on Jungle Scout. This is quite a wordy question, but humor me because I think this is a good one from Rob, who I know has got about 500 SKUs. So he's quite a serious seller.
Cool.
Mostly retail arb, I think, but he's only got a few private label ones. He's obviously seen the light. So he nice. Says there seem to be three schools of thought with product selection. First one is find and build a niche brand of related products so you can sell over and over to the same customers. The second one is hunt for single superstars or hidden gems. And the third one is gut instinct. Perhaps you find or invent a product you think would do great, or it's selling in another venue and has no reputation or history on Amazon to give informed decisions. So here's Rob's main sort of point. Jungle Scout and tools like it seem to be targeted at product selection too, which is sort of hunting for single superstars and hidden gems. But he asks, how can it best be used to help with the other ones? So finding and building a niche, or the third one, gut instinct? Or do you think that they have, you know, do you believe in those styles, or what's your view on that stuff?
Yeah. So to start, number three, gut instinct for me is okay. Out. Like I said, you know, like an engineer by trade, I'm a data guy. I think gut instinct's risky. I don't use it for any of my business decisions. So I'm going to go ahead and throw one out. I like to go by the data. maybe some people, you know, do well with the gut instinct. I don't think my gut is very good at making those decisions. So I guess the other two then were to like build a whole brand or a whole niche of similar products, or hunt for single superstars. Mm-hmm. And so when I first start, so I have about three dozen private label items now. And when I first started, you know, some of the people that I knew were selling, or some of the stuff I was learning from, told me that, you know, if you create a whole brand of like a whole line of products, that all the products on that line will start selling a lot better because, you know, your customer will buy this one, that one, and so forth. Personally, I know this goes against most of those people, but I didn't actually find that to be true. So I did that when I started, and I didn't really see my sales increase, I don't think, for the different products in the same line. You know, I think when people shop on Amazon, they don't really care as much about the brand anymore, which is good for us since we're private labeling stuff and we're creating new brands. But, you know, I don't think that they buy the yoga block because they have that brand of yoga mat. They probably just go buy whichever one has the best reviews at the best price. So for me personally now, all I do is just hunt for the superstars or the hidden gems. If it's a good opportunity, if it's, you know, selling well with low competition, even if it's not similar to any of my existing products, I go ahead and launch it. So that's the method that I prefer, and that's what I recommend. But, you know, you can use the Jungle Scout tools with any of those types. Well, I guess not so much the Gut Instinct, because it is like a data type of tool. But the other ones, you know, if you wanted to find products that were similar to the ones in your niche, again, you could, like, in the product database, which is in the web app, you could select, you know, that category and, like, find other products in that category because they might go well with your existing product or so forth.
Interesting. Yeah, well, I like the fact that you, first of all, you didn't just go for hidden gems, which seems to be, on the surface of it, a bit, if you like, primitive, with respects for the fact that you've done it and made, you know, got a lot more SKUs up than I have. But I like the fact that you tried that niche approach and then you find that from the data that didn't actually make a difference, because you based it now on, you've tried something out and the marketplace has given you feedback. So this is not just an off overnight idea that you're just going to look for gems, but you've just found that it works better. That's the first person I've heard say that, actually.
Right. And I mean, it could be different, I guess, in other niches. Maybe people are, like, a little more brand loyal, but I just haven't really found that to be the case. It's been really hard for me to, like, get two of my products in, like, the customers who bought this also bought section. If I were to able to get them there, maybe I would see a little bit of improvement. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I just think that's kind of how the Amazon marketplace is structured, is that, you know, like, people aren't going on Amazon and searching for my brand name, right? Like, I'm not to that point, even if they already own one of my products. They're just searching for whatever item they want and then, like, probably purchasing one of the top three, you know, depending on, like, who has the best reviews. That's just kind of how the marketplace works. So to me, it makes sense. But I know that my train of thought is different in that particular area than a lot of people. So take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, it's based on some serious experience. So that's very, very worth knowing. But also, I'm very interested that you're coming back to just, it's based on reviews and price, which brings us really on to the other question, which is just, I was going to kind of save this for later, but we can't sooner or later got to deal with the competition. It's increasing. And that is my experience. Is that your experience? And how do you deal with that? So you don't just get shopped on price. In other words, that it's not just a price war that goes to the bottom and takes all the profit out.
Yep. So to start, I, like, never compete on price with my competitors. I always try to make better pictures, you know, my listing better so it converts better. I try to make, like, small improvements to the items. I'm never one that, you know, if my competitors lower their price by a dollar, I just leave my price where it's at. So I'll say that to start. I think if everyone gets in these price wars, it's just everyone loses. So I definitely don't do that. You know, as far as going against the competition, to start, you know, when I launch new products, I try to get into stuff that's not very competitive. And then, you know, hopefully by the time more and more people start to get into it, and I've found this to be the case with most of my items, you know, it's that I'll be at one of those top spots. I'll be that guy with hundreds of reviews and the ones that it's really hard to compete with, you know? So, you know, so far that's worked really well for me. I try to get into niches when they're still young and not very competitive. And then, you know, really try to build up the number of reviews and the sales and so forth, just so I can kind of secure those spots. And, you know, I think a lot of people worried about, like, oh, well, is it too competitive? Am I too late into this opportunity? And my answer is no, I'm still launching products. You know, right now I have, like, a few brand new ones in the pipeline. I still think it's a really good opportunity. You just have to be good about your product research. If you, like, I can't really stress that enough. If you pick an item that's, like, in one of these super competitive niches, it's really tough to, like, recover from that and start making sales. But if you pick one of the ones that's not very competitive, I mean, it's still an awesome opportunity.
Excellent. Well, thank you for clarifying that stuff. I mean, I'm particularly not competing on price. That's something I've been guilty of. You know, you use like camel or something to track your competitor's price, and then, you know, start putting it down a dollar, and then you win a bit of, you know, conversion percentage goes up, you go slightly higher up the rankings, and then a week or two later, the competition's doing the same thing. So, and I certainly, I've experienced myself, and I'm just starting doing a bit of mentoring and coaching with some people who've asked for that, and working with a couple of people who, they're asking me to fix at the sort of marketing level what went wrong at the product selection level, because they went into something that's just so hyper competitive. They're on page 9 or page 19 right. in one case. And I'm like, you know what? I don't think we can do that much with this.
You pretty much can't fix it, you know?
Not really. Once the product selection, the overwhelming sort of feeling I get back, and I've had myself as an Amazon seller, but especially from people who are starting out new, is product selection is obviously so important that people get really hung up on it. And they trying to make the perfect product selection, and that's kind of impossible. And yet, of course, if you don't make a good selection, then you're kind of done for down the line, because however great your photos are and your listing, if the competition is so intense, you won't get anywhere. So how would you suggest getting around that sort of writer's block, if you like, that sort of deadlock?
I think they also call it like analysis paralysis, right? Like, you're just like so into the data, it's hard to actually make the decision. If you use that criteria I gave, it's, you know, proven that this criteria does work well. You know, I did like a public case study. I use it with all my own products and so forth. And then, you know, after you feel like you've done quite a bit of product research, you really understand kind of like how the different markets or niches work. I'd say, like, when in doubt, you could always just start with a lower initial order quantity, or you could go for something that maybe doesn't have, you know, like the 10 units a day of demand. Maybe it only has like 5 units a day of demand, but is very, you know, highly uncompetitive. I'd say if you're just beginning, that's probably the route that I would try to take, because, you know, if it's not very competitive, even if it only sells like 5 a day, at least your units are still like moving, you're still making sales, and you're learning a lot from it. And then maybe your second or your third or your fourth product, you could get into some of the a little more competitive stuff. And just one other note I was going to say on the last thing you were talking about, you know, how you've been like lowering your price to try to increase conversions and seeing your competitors. What I'll actually do now, if like one of my items starts slowing down, or maybe I'm dropping in the ranks a little bit, instead of lowering my price, I've actually found it's better for you in the long term to actually instead maybe do some product giveaways to get some sales. Maybe bump up in the ranks a little bit. From it, you can get some reviews, you know, so you're improving your listing. And that way you don't have to start this price war with you and your competitors, and usually see the same results. And overall, it's going to net you, you know, more money. So that's something to keep in mind.
Great. So the item slows down or drops in rank, don't lower the price, just do some giveaways. Very clear, simple advice. That's excellent. I like the analysis paralysis stuff as well. I mean, basically, so if in doubt, find the lower competition and place a lower order. So I guess you're risking less money in the start anyway, so you're not getting the block of that whole, oh, I'm going to put my life savings on the line kind of thing.
Yep.
Excellent. Okay. That's great. Thank you so much for that. Now, I was going to ask a couple of questions about Pro Account with Jungle Scout. I know the Pro Account will give extra information like FBA fees, the fulfillment category, which is something like, is it oversized? Is it standard size? That stuff. Is this available for the Amazon UK market, or is that all about the USA?
Yep, that works for the UK market as well.
Great, okay. And what about Germany and other European marketplaces?
Unfortunately, not. It's only US and UK right now. However, you know, I don't. If you're a listener to this in the future, you might want to check our site, because we are actively working on collecting data so we can develop those algorithms and such right now. So, you know, maybe this summer, so it'll be summer of 2016. We're hoping to expand into like all of the European stores and hopefully Canada and Mexico at that time too.
Great. Well, I think that might sort of tie in with where everyone's minds are going, because people are starting to explore Europe. But of course, it brings up the language issue. For starters, you've got to have your listing translated. You've got to do customer service in German, whatever. So it's a sort of, it's not a mature market yet for anybody. But I think it's, yeah, it'd be interesting to keep an eye on that one.
Yeah.
So, folks, that's the first part of the interview with Greg, and the second part will be coming out very shortly as well. So what a great interview so far. Lots and lots of very practical answers to some quite tricky and very, very common questions. So I think that was fantastic stuff. I was very, very impressed with Greg. I thought he's such a clear-minded, straightforward and very confident approach to some areas that really can be a big hang-up for lots of people. So obviously I will put links to the Jungle Scout, various sort of things, including the tools and the case study as well, which they've done on the Jungle Sticks thing. But I would urge you to get yourself over to Jungle Scout once you've read the blog notes, and so you get some detail. And really, if you haven't got it yet, I really think you should get the Jungle Scout extension. And that's not because I'm getting paid anything by Greg. It's simply because I think it's the most important thing that you can get.
Hey, this is Johnny Dumas of EO Fire, and you're listening to Amazing FBA with the marvelous Michael Veazey, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. You must be prepared to ignite.
A big thank you to John Lee Dumas of Entrepreneur on Fire there for a fantastic audio bumper. That was my reward for leaving an iTunes review. And you too can have a reward for leaving a review. So basically, if you go to www.fba.com/iTunes review, or if you just go to the blog and if you look up on the, the menu bar at the top, that's what I'm trying to say, leave an iTunes review, you will find a place where you get instructions, detailed instructions on how to leave a review on iTunes, which is not, for some reason, very easy. Don't know why Apple makes it so hard, but it would be really, really helpful. So obviously you're getting free interviews with people like Greg Mercer, Peter Zapf of Global Sources. You know, we've got Will Chirland, who's turned over $6 million in a year, in one single year, folks, on Amazon with his brother. So obviously we're talking about some fantastic people, and it takes a lot of work and effort to get these people organized, to find a time that we can both do, to reach out to them in the first place, to do the interview, to edit it. All I'm asking from you is an iTunes review. This is a free podcast and it always will be free. So please, please help with some iTunes love. Leave a review and a rating. So the review is the actual words and the rating is the number of stars. A fractionally different idea from the Amazon thing. Really would be helpful, guys. Thank you very much in advance for your help and love on iTunes. So one thing I forgot to say is what your reward is for this. Apart from getting great free content for me, your reward is basically that I will give you a free email consultation and detailed answer to any specific business issue you have or something, which is normally something I now reserve only for mentees because my time is getting so precious these days. So that is your reward for doing an iTunes review. All you need to do is do the review. Once you've left it, do a screenshot of that. Then send me the screenshot in an email along with your question to michael@amazingfba.com. So a quick reminder once again that if you want to be a member of the Facebook group, that is the place to be if you want to be asking questions and getting answers. Maybe some of the answers will be on the podcast. Don't forget, I'm now running a Q&A Tuesday sort of slot, which is where I'm going to take questions directly from the Facebook group or the email list, and I will answer them on the podcast in some detail. So that is another great opportunity. So it's all the more reason to get over to the Facebook group, www.amazingfba.com/FBF. Be as in book. Meanwhile, guys, go and take action on this. It's always the same. Learn, do, review. I've been trying to put that into a new beautiful catchphrase, but I haven't quite got it down yet. So when I have, you'll be here to hear it. But in the meantime, get out there. Learn the stuff from Greg, very simple stuff, but get it implementing it. And if you're stuck on the product research phase, then use the simple, simple tools that Greg's given you, the simple ideas, the simple criteria to move forward and get something out in the marketplace. Because if you haven't got something out there, you really aren't in business yet, and you aren't going to know what's going to work until you've got it out there. Yeah? If in doubt, as Greg said, go for lower competition, order fewer units. You know, there were ways around it, but get yourself moving and then review what's actually happening in reality, adjust to reality, tweak. You know, adjust your listing, tweak the product, tweak, you know, the customer service, and move on. So it's all about learn, do, review, guys. Go to it, go do it, have fun, and I'll speak to you in the next podcast.